Thank you so much for joining me today. I have Marian Smith with me. She is a social media extraordinaire. I actually ran into her or found her through Instagram through a challenge that she did with, I believe, a girl called Devin, who's American, isn't she? So I'm going to pass it over to Marian so she can give you her spiel and let you know what she's all about.
Hello. Oh, my God. Thank you very much, Sarah, for having me on. Do you know what? I've always wanted to do a podcast and it's been on my to-do list for the past year. So finally, 2022, somebody's asked me. So thank you very much. Myself and Devin, she's an American lady who is living over my hometown in Galway, Ireland. And we clubbed together last summer and did the challenge. I think it was 30 days Reels challenge that yes. we did. I think it was August. Yeah, it was sometime in August up until September. That was really, really good experience for both Devin and myself because, you know, we were using Reels as the challenge to get more people involved. We work closely with Irish businesses. I know I'm based over here in Manchester, but my business clientele is mainly concentrated in Ireland. So we were getting all the businesses as much as we possibly could within the area in Galway to get on board with Reels. So that's how we started that. I am the owner of Notion Social. I have been doing social media management probably since, is it 2018 or the early part of 2019? I can't quite remember. And it's been a side hustle really since then. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to go full-time with it sooner rather than later, because I still have a full-time job. So it really, really keeps me busy.
Wow.
That is me really in a nutshell when it comes to Notion Social and social media management.
Fabulous. And I don't think that you're alone in that either, the whole having a full-time job and having this side project that you want to. I mean, I'm exactly the same. I work in a primary school full-time and then come home and do the coaching and the podcasting sort of on the side. So I think a lot of people who listen to this podcast will also be in a very similar boat. So I know for myself, if I could pass on something of that and be able to have someone else do it for me, content creation, social media management would totally be like one of the first things I'd go, here you go, have it, take it. So it is really great to have you on today. So what actually got you involved or interested in social media?
So I grew up in the days of Bebo. I don't know if anybody's going to be listening and has heard of Bebo. It was very big in Ireland. I don't know if it was big in the States.
No, I've never heard it.
I think a Bebo, MySpace was probably a huge one back then. So it was
MySpace, definitely. Yeah.
I didn't know and I never went on MySpace, but Bebo was the thing for me. So I am of that era of social media. And obviously I've gone on to Facebook, Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as well, and that is a social media platform. So I have always been interested in social media. I connect with it really well. And it was always another thing that I had on the side. You've got your full-time job, but then you have that more exciting project.
Yes, yes.
Full-time job, but you have that more exciting project on the side. Mm-hmm. And it really started with my cousin, Sinead, who I'm going to give a shout out to. She has a business back in Ireland and it's in the hospitality industry. And, you know, she was just like, do you want to help us with the social media reviews, all of that good stuff to get started? Because it was a hostel that they took over that probably didn't have great reviews, didn't have a great name around the city. We created a social media plan and it just kind of went from there. And in the meantime, obviously, I've done some courses. Like I don't have a background in marketing or anything like that. I did business admin. way back, early 2000s. I'm kind of showing my age now at the moment, but so that's where it started, and yeah, I love it. I really, really enjoy it. It's probably a little bit similar in terms of my full-time job, because I have to have good communication. I really need to be organized, and there are days when I am a chaos. But you know, I think that's the majority of everybody. But as long as I've got brilliant apps and I've got a huge to-do list, I mean, I do get it done eventually. But it's good fun. I really enjoy the aspect of meeting people online.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the creating the community as well. And that's a lot about, you know, there's a lot of conversation, especially now, like sort of 2.5, however many years we're into this sort of pandemic lifestyle. We have created those communities online. We have created our lives now very much in that Zoom space, online, having these meetups. You know, I'm in an online community called Together with Jackie Carr, and I've met some beautiful people through this community, all based in the US. I've never met them. I may never meet them. One of my business besties I met years ago in a Facebook group. We still talk daily. You know, meeting people online and creating that community more now than ever is so important, and is such a big part of what I think society has kind of evolved a little bit, which in a way is probably not that great since we're not actually going out and being together. But equally, it's a way to almost grow your exposure, because I can be friends with people in the US when I live in the UK. And equally, to go back to the it's fun, your side project always has to be fun, because if it's not, it isn't going to stay a side project for long. And being lit up by what you do is so important. And I think that's why it's so important to have you on as well, because I know social media can be really tricky, and Instagram as well. It's finicky. Like, let's be honest, Instagram is like an ex-boyfriend. It likes you one day and then it really doesn't like you the next. Or 100%. Her boyfriend. I mean, you know. And so it's great to be able to get some practical, blah, 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 achievable tips from you today on, you know, how we can manage, I think, nurturing our audience and engagement. You know, it's a huge buzzword. You know, we were talking a little bit about this before we started. You know, we assume, wrongly, but assume that the bigger number of followers we have, the more sales we'll make. Now, I'm not sure if it was you or someone else mentioning to me about the woman who had like 10,000 followers and needed to sell 32 t-shirts and couldn't even manage to do that. And so it just, you heard that one.
I think I've heard that one. I didn't mention that one to you, but yeah, I've heard that one. And yeah, well, first of all, you have to ask yourself, 10,000 followers, were they actual human beings or were they bots? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and if you can't sell like 32 t-shirts with that amount of followers who should be engaged and loving your brand, whether that's a product or a service based, then yeah, exactly. You're doing something seriously wrong and you're fooling yourself.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, people find you out quite quickly on Instagram. They really do. So don't try to fool people into thinking that you're some hotshot, because we can just
we can tell. I mean, I always like to look at those. I mean, I don't like to look at people who have like loads of followers, and then you click onto their post and they'll have like 25 likes, 35 likes, 10 likes, 15 likes. And you think, why? Where are all of these people? And is it just the algorithm not showing it up in your feed? Or you know, and I mean, I think the algorithm could be a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, I mean, the algorithm is an absolute beast. You know, when you hear Adam from the head of Instagram talking about it, sometimes you're just like, yeah, like that kind of, you know, resonates with me. But then, you know, there is a lot more to the algorithm. And with these big accounts, yeah, there is some fantastic accounts out there that have the engagement, you know, but they've really worked at it. And then there are some other accounts that have huge followings and they are worshipped like, I don't know, God or something. Yeah. But some of the information that they're pushing out there is, it really is false. It's, you know, they don't have any facts behind it and they are just looking for people to like and comment. And that does help them push them into the algorithm in the highest rank when you are looking for somebody. If you're looking for a particular problem and you're using a particular hashtag that they might be using, they will rank up higher. But then you're kind of, you're doing it out of false pretense, really. You know, because there are people who cannot afford social media managers like myself or agencies to run their social media accounts. They could be very small time business people, only have themselves, you know, they got to pay and stuff like that. And they can't afford the extra marketing. And they will look to some of these accounts, gurus, and will take their advice as gospel. Because if you see 300,000 followers, you automatically think, wow, well, they know their stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody who may have 500 followers or 2,000 followers. So it is, yeah, I mean, we all know that Instagram, you know, you've got the reality and then you've actually got what goes behind the scenes and it's completely different. So it is, you know, I've got a post going up next week about, you know, what you actually see when I push something out compared to what actually goes on in the background. You know, with having a full-time job, I am working evenings, I am working weekends, and I am making the connections. And while it's good, it's fun, it's really interesting, the people that you speak to, but I'm going to be honest with you, it can be quite exhausting as well. You know, sure that yourself, because there is an element of selling yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that in itself, I think it's really, really daunting. I mean, I'm not great at it at all, selling myself. I'll be the first to say that that is definitely something that I need to work on. But yeah, you're right. It is really exhausting. And it can also feel really lonely as well, because, you know, all the people I know that do a fun sort of part-time side gig, they're all online. I don't know anyone in my town that does that kind of stuff. I mean, I do, but like, I'm not friendly with them. So going back to the social media part of it and making it a bit more, because obviously there are quite a lot of small-time businesses that can't afford social media just yet. So what would you say would be like your top three tips for engagement with your audience, because engagement obviously equals sales.
These are probably the things that I would be looking out for, is, you know, making sure that you understand the products that you are selling or service. Now, you know that yourself. So when people are coming to you, that they're like, right, okay, I know exactly what Sarah or Marion is trying to sell. So you really do need to niche down. I know it's such a huge buzzword at the moment on Instagram, but that's just really all about focusing. You know, what are your goals? What is actually your brand? And once you've kind of nailed that, then it's easier for you to create content and have that strategy for your social media accounts, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever platform you're going to be on. And, you know, for me, and maybe anybody who's probably a service-based business on social media, there's always three things that I always do, you know, an educational post, whatever that may be. You have to keep people want to see who's the real Marion? You know, show a bit of that personality. And then you're going to have to do your sales. And that's a biggie for a lot of people. People are not very confident on selling because they're like very, I don't know, wary of or worried that, oh, here she comes with another sales pitch. God, I'm going to, you know, unfollow her. And if that person unfollows you, then that's okay. Let that person go, because maybe they were never going to buy from you in the first place. You know, and don't be afraid of losing followers, because that's just the way it goes. You know, you can't do anything about it. You know, if they're not bought into the product or they don't see the relevance, they may have started following you 6 months ago and thought, oh, maybe I might buy that product. But come 6 months down the line, they may have jumped on somebody else, or they're just not there at that stage. They might not have the budget, or they moved on to something else. Like, let them go. Don't worry about it, because somebody else will fall into that place. You know, you'll gain another follower, two followers, or 20 followers. So, yeah, and it's all about community. Community for me is a huge thing on Instagram. Like you say, I have met some online friends, and you know, my friends, my real life friends that I actually see, are like, what do you mean you've met online friends? What does that mean? Like, dating, like, that's a bit weird. But yeah, you have to have a community, because it can get really lonely doing work online. You know, and with my full-time job, I'm still working from home, so I don't see my team. You know, I've got little human contact. It almost feels like I'm still kind of stuck in coronavirus, like March 2020 some days.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if anybody else has that crazy feeling, but I do sometimes. And then I go into my local city and I'm like, oh God, it's so busy, like life has resumed.
Yeah. And I think my husband feels similar, because he does work from home and his offices are based down in London. And I think they've got some people sort of in Manchester, like that way, but not here, not where we are in this town. Whereas I don't have any of that, because I'm literally in a school 5 days a week, surrounded by people. Like, I literally have to go to the bathroom to not be around people. Like,
yeah.
You know, so I'm the opposite. I think I would quite like to work from home for a little bit, so I could not see everyone all the time. Like, so I'm the other end of the spectrum, I think, which is really quite funny. But also, again, it shows just how important that community is. Whether you are like myself and work in a school, or work out of the home full time, or you are like you who work at home full time, the chances of you actually finding people who get the sort of like side gig job in the town or the space that you are in is slim to none.
Very much so. I have to agree with that. You know, like, even when I go back to Galway, I'm going back a little bit more than what I was doing, because obviously with travel and stuff like that. And I always try to make an effort to meet up with people who are in the same space as me, even if that's just for coffee, or like, you know, I've had a working day actually with Devon when I was home in Galway.
Nice.
You know, we worked together. She was doing her own stuff, I was doing mine, but we were sitting together, we had a cup of coffee, and that was really nice, because, you know, we could just kind of, you know, throw out some ideas, or just see, like, is this something that you would do, or is this something different? And because, you know, with social media, there's always new things coming up. Like, it's forever changing. It's exhausting sometimes when new features drop, and you have to learn those new features and figure them out and maybe play around with them for a while before you actually can go out to your audience and say, hey, this is what I think you should be doing, or how you should use it, you know, how it might work for your business. Not everybody wants to do reels, not everybody wants to do videos. I certainly did not want to do them last year. My first video was pretty cringe. I actually did it on International Women's Day. I've kept it up there, I think, but like, we all weren't born you know, to perform in front of cameras. You know, for like 6 to 60 seconds. But you know, people are jumping on board because everybody wants more video. You know, we want static posts, but we want more video.
But equally, that sort of like 60 seconds or whatever it is a really great way to garner someone's personality, right? Like I will always, and I'm probably really odd in this sense, but I will always prefer spoken stuff than I would written. Like I like static posts. I hate creating graphics. I'll be completely and utterly honest. And I don't like writing out the massive. I'd rather just get on and talk to you, because then, as I knock over my microphone, you can see, like you can clearly see the passion. You can hear the passion. It's how I do a lot of human design, and I've got a defined throat. So it's how I get my point across, is through the spoken word, really. That is how I catch my audience. So that's how I'd like to think I catch my audience, which is why I do the podcast. But equally, I think 60 seconds is such a great way, and it's short enough that if people are busy, they can quickly watch it. I still can't figure out how to get captions on some of this stuff. Like it is a nightmare. But if you can get captions on, even better. Like Stories now do captions, which is great.
They do.
And yeah, I just think that they are really good and people are getting more on board. So I like that. Yeah. I like that bit of Instagram.
Absolutely. And I think as well that you don't need to show your face. Like if you go onto my reels, there is a lot of finger pointing and miming, which is totally fine. But, you know, there are people that don't want to show their face, or they're kind of embarrassed. And that's, you know, fair comment. You don't necessarily need to do that. There are other ways of, like, you can show behind the scenes. So it could be like your office desk, or like, you know, if you're a jewelry person, you know, you can show your jewelry. You know, there's other ways, creative ways of doing reels that don't need to show your face. And I think people need to remember that as well. And you don't always need to be like Marion doing the finger pointing.
Yeah, well, and equally, like, I think reels are a steep learning curve for some people. Like, I've still not really gotten on board with them as much as I probably could have, just because I'm actually quite intimidated. I'd rather just do a video with myself talking about something. So what would be a good, easy reel for people to do, if you can give us a tip or a hint on how to create like our first ever reel? What would you suggest?
You know, for a first ever reel for whatever business, I'll just pick out a restaurant, maybe let's go for that one. And you don't want to show your face. You can cut it down to 6 seconds, 7 seconds, start with that. Don't even attempt the 30 seconds or the 60 seconds. And because you can only capture, like, when people are scrolling on reels, you've got 2 to 3 seconds before people are like, ah, and they scroll up or they scroll out or they close down their app, whatever. So 7 seconds is probably the sweet spot. And for if you're a restaurant, take a simple video of you plating up, you know, the food. Or if you've got like 7 photographs, 8 photographs, and you've got this music, you know, just put the photographs in with the music. You know, it doesn't need to be an actual moving video, if you know what I mean, for reels. You can just use photographs as well. Sometimes they, you know, the algorithm probably wouldn't favor them as much as a move-in video, I guess. But, you know, even on reels, like what you're saying, like if you just want to talk, you know, you can talk on a reel. It doesn't need to be on a story or anything like that. You can put on background music, but probably start with photographs. Especially when it comes to reels, we don't like showing our faces. It's tough. We weren't born for it, a lot of us. Especially when you've got businesses who, they might be a little bit older, because, you know, I think a lot of people are thinking it's for the younger generation.
Yeah.
I'm not on TikTok. I have an account just so I can scroll endlessly, mindlessly on TikTok. But I do remember my niece, who is 18, now 19, last summer, and she kicked me off her TikTok. And I was like, oh, why? Why can I not watch TikTok? And she was like, well, it's really for like 18 to 25 year olds. And I am not in that. So, you know, I can see why people do get intimidated when they think it's a certain generation, you know, but I think it can be for anybody. You just need to be, you know, smart about how you use reels.
And I think creative as well. And to be a business owner, you already have a level of creativity, right? And I guess you could always Google like top 15 easy reel ideas, and there will be things that come up. I'm going to challenge myself to do a reel this week.
Brilliant. Well, I'll look out for it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to write that down. This has been amazing. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience?
You know, I just think that we do get bogged down about social media. And I think, you know what, we do need to make it fun. It needs to be a fun place. I think we're moving away from the lovely aesthetic of Instagram. Well, I hope that we are. And it just, you know, you need to be authentic. Show off your personality. That's what it's all about. Like, it's just draining you. You know, get yourself back off, like, off social media. I mean, like, nobody needs that in their life. And you know, that is what it is for me. It's fun. It's obviously a business, serious business, but it does need to be fun as well. And I love discovering new accounts, and I love seeing that their personalities shine through. And that could be like with the color they use, the language that they use, even the reels. And like you, I do actually like to hear somebody's voice. Mm-hmm. On video, even that's on their stories or even on reels, or some kind of video format. And yeah, just keep in mind that it needs to be a little bit of fun and show your personality. You know, and yeah, obviously when you show that, people are more inclined to buy.
Yeah, because they feel like they know you. You're creating that relationship, and I think that's really important. So being able to show your personality is key, really, in creating that relationship, whether you do it through photographs or you do it through stories or you do it through reels with no face but just voice. You know, make it fun and bring that, you know, bring that back in, and try to not stress about it so much, I think.
No, exactly. Don't stress about it. And if you are stressing about social media and your plan and what you need to be using and what platforms, then hand it over. Hand it over to a social media manager who will do it. You take that stress away and then concentrate on what you're actually good at, whatever that business is. But yeah, if it's stressing you out, then let somebody help you out, you know. Because, you know, with social media management, there's always different packages. You know, like, just talk to somebody about it. And
talk to you. Talk to you. Come on.
Me, exactly. And, you know, there's always something that you can figure out, isn't there? There's always a for somebody. But you won't know until you ask. And that's the key, isn't it, really?
That's absolutely it. So I'm going to ask you two more questions. One, your period positive or period neutral story. And two, where we can find you and how we can work with you. That was three, actually. But okay, who's counting? Saturday.
Periods. Yes. I mean, I grew up in Ireland, rural Ireland. So we didn't talk about our periods. I mean, what do we call them? Like, flow, or it was a time of month. And people probably still do say that. So we don't actually say the word period, but I think I'm getting better at that. And I started my period when I was 10 years of age. I did not know what was happening to me. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think any of my friends either started around the same time as me. So it was all a bit bizarre. I didn't know what was happening to me. I actually probably thought I was dying. And even long time, it was something that I suffered, or something that happened every month, and that was it. And as the years have, I suppose, moved on, I've had my period for, I'm gonna say, 30 years. Isn't that crazy?
Same, nearly.
That is ridiculous, you know. And now I'm at that age where I'm probably perimenopausal.
You're not at that age yet, I don't think. A few years yet.
But you know, I think my period, to me, I don't know if I've really ever tuned into it, but I have certainly tuned into it in the last 2 years. And I think, I don't know, coronavirus has made me, I don't know, look at things, look at my body, my self-care, growth of me, like in a very positive way in the last couple of years. And especially my period, I think there's been parts of it where it's kind of been a bit, you know, up and down, or especially in the last 6 months, you know, I probably have experienced having one period in the last 6 months, you know, and that is something that I am now actively, you know, looking at and trying to figure it out and follow the symptoms and, you know, recording stuff like on an app. Before, I would never have done that. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't really interested. I was just, oh, I got my period in a certain day, I just have to suffer it. So yeah, it's something that I am more in tune with, for definite. And I think that was to do as well with last summer. I did work with somebody who is a wellness and a confidence and uses the period element of mm-hmm. it, which I found really interesting. I'd never looked at it like that. And I'm sure there are so many women, and especially some of my friends, that don't even know about the, what is it, the luteal phase, the follicle
oh
phase.
Yeah, no, I don't go in, I don't, I use the seasons. It's for me much easier, but yes, same.
Yeah, and I was like, what, I didn't even know this, like that's just crazy. So in terms of like my social media work, because it is, you know, quite tough going, I do make sure when whatever cycle I'm in that I work it accordingly to my business, to my business needs. So if I'm in the ovulation, I'm a little bit more confident.
Yeah,
I'm definitely more confident in that cycle. And now I am in the luteal phase, and I can tell that I'm a little bit more kind of, I'm getting a little bit more tired.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's such an amazing insight, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that like in 2020, I had no idea, absolutely no idea. So how did I get to 38 years of age to not even know? I mean, that is crazy.
But that's society, and it's how we're taught, you know. I mean, I'm not from Ireland, but I'm from a Catholic state in Louisiana. I was given a pamphlet. You know, I always like to laugh and say my grandmother handed me a pamphlet from the pediatrician's office. So yeah, it's very similar. So, you know, sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, I didn't even get that. I think my dad told me about it. My mother was working away and my dad had to tell me.
Nice. I like it. So last two questions. Tell us where we can find you online and how we can work with you.
Okay, so I am, you probably find me more actively on Instagram. So I am Notions Social over on Instagram. So if you follow me for all tips and tricks and reels and all that good information when it comes to social media management. I am a social media manager. There is a link in my bio if you want to tap that. And I'm always down for just a conversation over a cup of tea or anything like that. And see where it goes. I never say no, because you just never know. I always kind of keep the doors open to a lot of things. And I also I have a free 30-minute consultation call, so we will go through everything there in terms of like your business and what are your pain points and what are your needs. And I also have power hours, so that is where it's up to you, the business owner, which I can guide you of what you actually want to go through. Like, you may not want to sign up to social media management, which is monthly. You might just need, you know, 4 hours on how to do hashtags or film and reels, or, you know, anything, how to create a content strategy, best times to post, all of that good stuff. So that's what I offer currently at the moment. There's a couple of things in the pipeline for 2022, but to be announced, to be honest with you, because they're still being worked on. But yeah, that's just me in a nutshell. really, really easy, very approachable. So, you know, get in contact.
I've had a conversation with Marion about my social media, and I can tell you she is super knowledgeable and very approachable and would be an absolute joy to work with. So definitely reach out if you are asking any questions. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing your tips and tricks today on Instagram.
Oh, thank you. I've been so nervous, but this conversation with you, Sarah, is just like, it settled the nerves.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been really, really easy.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.